It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. And now to the Milwaukee-based immigrant rights group Voces de la Frontera and the issues they will put front and center as part of the May Day march and rally demanding policy changes at the state and national levels. Call in with your questions, your insights. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ricardo Torres is a community organizer for Voces de la Frontera in Brown County. Ricardo, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here and thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. So Monday, here it comes. Voces plans this march as part of this National Day of Action for Changing Immigration Policy. What do you want people to take away from this march?
Well, I mean, this march has been going on now for years, and it's sort of like a sacred date for not just Voces de la Frontera as an organization, but it's also been like a sacred date to a lot of Latino and immigrant families around the state. And I see that there's a lot of confusion on what May Day is. Is it an activist day? Is it a protest day? Is it, am I going out in support of anything if I go out on May Day? And the answer is yes to all of those, you know. We are going out in support of policy changes. We are going in support of a couple good things that the state has been doing. However, we're also on strike. On strike for many social inequities, social injustices that have been going on here in the state now for quite a while, and that sadly not a lot of people stand for, although the Hispanic population is the fastest growing around the country. So that's basically what May Day is. And now what every year we try to focus on, a couple of issues that are the Latino community, the Latino and immigrant community here in the state of Wisconsin. This year, we will be focusing on a couple. Some of them the biggest one that would be focused on this year would be the restoring the driver's licenses for all. It's a movement that has been going on now for, I guess, two decades, because before 2007 and for decades before that, immigrants were able to get some sort of ID. In this case, it would be a driver's license up until the federal law blocked it in 2007. So federally, there were no more driver's licenses that were available for immigrants in any of the states. So states had to, re-up that individually. Thankfully, we've been making some progress and making some noise in the country now, because now Minnesota was the last state that passed the driver's licenses for all.
I just want to stop you right there to just explore that a little bit. Last month, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signed into law a driver's licenses for all program. How does then that perhaps impact Wisconsin as it looks to policy when neighboring states like Minnesota take this action?
It's good for our movement just because it puts more pressure onto Wisconsin legislators, Wisconsin representatives, just because a lot of the backlash that we're starting to get now is for, voter fraud and stuff like that. However, for states that have already passed the driver licenses for all movement, and especially now Minnesota, we have such a close proximity with them that it's not as hard to go and do a little more research onto, what is going on, is there voter fraud, is there not voter fraud, and so from that we can make our decisions. So having neighboring states is so good for our movement just because it puts a lot of pressure on them.
There's been sentiment from legislative Republicans here in Wisconsin arguing that loosening license requirements would incentivize illegal immigration. What is your response to that?
The driver's license is just a necessary paper that you can have. Well, it's not really paper, but it's a necessary document that one needs. And although it may incentivize legal immigration, as how y'all saying, right, undocumented immigration, I feel like for the people who are already here, is most definitely going to be a plus. Just because they have some sort of documentation that they can go off. And I mean, from that, immigration has seemed to help the country, whether it is legal or undocumented. And we see it all over the state, and all over the country. So, yeah.
I want to elevate the strike for a moment and talk a little bit about what that means and the strike being planned this year. What are you expecting?
So we're expecting to, I guess you can say, to try to make an impact, because that's usually been the purpose of May Day, is to make an impact in the community, make sure that the Latino voices are heard, and to show that Latino voices are not just a couple of people here and there. You know, the Latino voices aren't the only ones in the factories. The Latino voices aren't the only ones in the dairy farms. The Latino voices are everywhere in the state, you know, whether it be in high positions or whether it be in low positions across the state. Like, Latino voices are everywhere. And so what we want to do is to bring that impact to legislators, to everyone that's seeing us, you know, that doesn't want or that doesn't want our policy changes, right? We want to cause them to be like, wow, this Latino movement is strong, and it will be continue going strong.
To feel that in the workforce. Ricardo Torres, organizer with Voces de la Frontera, Milwaukee-based immigrant advocacy group. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Join with your questions. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The immigrant rights group Voces de la Frontera, it seeks to amplify the voices of the immigrant and undocumented communities in Wisconsin. And we explore their policy agenda ahead of the statewide strike in March on Monday. Call in with your perspective, a voice, a question, 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Ricardo Torres is a community organizer for Voces in northeastern Wisconsin. Ricardo, let's turn to 287G, the eight Wisconsin County Sheriff's Departments opt-in to the program that allows the local police force to enforce federal immigration policy. And you go to St. Norbert's College in Brown County, which is one of those eight counties. How is the 287G program affecting immigrant communities in our state?
Well, now that there isn't a driver's license as of right now for immigrants here in the state, it's definitely very intimidating, to say the least, right? And the fact is that a lot of people do not know that this 287G program is even in the county, acting in the county. So what for those people that don't know, that like you said, the 287G basically gives the police officers the right to act as a federal ICE agent, and whenever you get stopped, they can question your citizenship status, they can ask for your social security card, and if you don't have it, they'll take you in and most likely from there start the process for you to get deported. So there's a lot of, I guess you can say, fear for those people who do know that the 287G program is going on, just because if they get stopped while going to work or if they get stopped while picking up their kids, they can probably not see their kids anymore for quite a while, or they probably won't be able to provide for the family, let's say if they're the main providers of the family, because if they get stopped, you know, it's a big chance that you might not be able to go back home. It's been something that we stopped back in 2016, right? Because it was going to be a statewide program. However, we stopped it. Voces de la Frontera, May Day March in 2016, thankfully stopped that. However, now a lot of counties, like you said, are opting into this policy change. However, we're doing again this May Day to stop that. Not just here in the state, not just to stop 287G in the state, but to please ask President Biden to stop it federally, because it only increases racial profiling here in the state.
You mentioned the Biden administration, and I want to look more broadly here. Voces May Day March is urging federal immigration reform. How should the federal government change immigration policy?
You know, I was writing a paper about this the other day, and it's actually pretty tough, right? Mm-hmm. Because immigration is not just like a black and white topic. There's a lot of gray area. There is people that get affected here in the states. There's people who get affected outside of the states. So when it comes to federal immigration reforms, and the thing is, immigration is never going to cease. like people see, oh, build a wall and immigration is going to stop. No, sadly, that's not going to be the case. If you have your mindset that way, it's definitely not going to be the case that immigration is going to stop. Like, there's going to be other ways people are going to find to come back into the country, whether an illegally sound way or a not legally sound way. What we have to think about here is to not just help the people that are already on in the States, right? So by that, giving them documents, right? Because why live a life of fear when you can give them documents? And secondly, how we can help Latin American communities, how we can help Latin American countries, whether it is forming a North American union, like the EU has their union, right? Which just makes immigration so much easier in the sense that it's much more humane. People can just travel from one country to the other without any repercussions or anything that harms them. And that's something that we have to get into our minds, that probably within the next couple of years, the United States may not be the most powerful country in the world anymore. And we have to, I guess you can say, union up with Mexico and Canada and other North American countries and South American countries so that we can create a better humanitarian state for everyone involved.
Ricardo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Ricardo Torres is a community organizer for Voces de la Frontera based in Brown County. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.